Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Thursday, May 30th, 2019. The weekend is breathing down our necks. I have with me today two special guests to talk about some interesting topics. I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon.
And isn't it exciting to be here and not talk about data breach?
Yes.
Spoiler alert for everyone disappointed. We covered a data breach yesterday, so there you go. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad you're here as well. The first thing I want to talk about is something that is a little concerning, but does have a clever name, and that would be the Splinternet, which is what's happening with all of these different organizations, government entities, that are building their own internet in anticipation of all manner of things, depending who you ask. Now, Andrew, you wrote about this.
Yeah, so this was this interesting article over at Fortune talking about this. More of a think piece than anything. They think that this author says the Splinternet is growing, and that means that certain governments want to, like, exert more and more control over the internet, like China and Russia, but there's also France and Sri Lanka, and it mainly has to do with censorship and trying to basically create their own kind of national internet.
What?
And, China is basically already doing this.
Iran did it first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, control and limit access to information is the first refuge of authoritarian regimes everywhere and always has been. At least in the modern era, at least. So I shouldn't say always has been. And it is a terrible thing. It is likely going to increase, and it stinks.
And I mean, another aspect of that is the, like, the corporation side. I mean, for many people, for example, Facebook is the internet for them. Mm-hmm. There's Facebook, there's, you know, Twitter, all these sites where we're, like, it's becoming more and more centralized instead of back in the early days when the internet was the wild, wild west and had a bit more freedom. Now companies are trying to control it more.
Mm-hmm. And
well, yeah, that makes sense, right? The tech giants do want to exert that control. We had there was a story about the Mr. Shoemaker, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Shoemaker, who used to head up the App Store review team for Apple, and he talked about how there was a concern about how other tech giants, or maybe even some smaller company, could make apps that would essentially replace Apple's apps and get people thinking about these other companies instead of thinking about Apple. So, like, even a company that often does things for the benefit of its customers in terms of privacy, in particular, and security, mm-hmm. even Apple is subject to that sort of desire to control stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what I remember
when I was
writing
this,
yeah,
I just had this dark thought, like, maybe I can see this dark future where we don't even really have an internet anymore. Like, the web browser will just go away because it's too messy. You can't control it. And it will just be a bunch of apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised in the least.
That is certainly conceivable. Certainly in the authoritarian regime countries.
Yeah,
that's certainly possible. And it could eventually be a possibility for us, too. I'm sure that Facebook would like nothing more for everybody to only use Facebook through their app. I'm sure that Facebook would love that so that they can control every aspect of it. I think Tim Berners-Lee talked about this recently. He talked about how the internet is departing from his original vision of openness and is instead becoming a tool for control. And it's a worrisome thing. And I don't really know what folks can do. What can folks in Russia do about it? That probably nothing. And worse, they probably don't even want to do anything about it because they happen to love their dictator. The folks in China may or may not love the government, but there's clearly nothing they're going to do there. Folks in Iran regularly use VPNs. I guess folks in all of these countries often use VPNs to get around their country restrictions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But even that's certainly not guaranteed to work forever.
Right. And we've seen the China tests where they VPNs. I think Russia pulled the plug on everything. We saw them test, like, you can only use sort of Russia's internet only, and like the VPN stuff was failing during that test, if I recall. There's always the thing, like, if it's possible for them to test it and have it pass, then it's possible for them to just leave it that way all the time. So,
and as Fortune pointed out, Sri Lanka did the same thing. They had a terrorist attack, mm-hmm. and the ISPs, the government ordered them to block social media sites, and then they restored them earlier this month. But they ordered a new blackout to, quote, curb ethnic tensions.
Because mm-hmm. the government knows what's better, always, right?
Well, I mean, I believe in a free market. I believe in a mixed market with tension between regulation and the forces of capitalism. Mm-hmm. Go too far in either direction and you get a bunch of crap. The reality is that Facebook has made a platform that can be used to stoke, foment, and exploit ethnic tensions. Mm-hmm. Facebook is, I mean, you know, Facebook has was instrumental in the violence and ethnic cleansing performed against the Rohingyas. Am I getting that name right? In Myanmar?
I think so.
Yeah.
And so a government pulling the plug on, of course, the government was actually behind some of that. They were exploiting Facebook to do that. Is a government pulling the plug on something like that because it is being used to exploit, foment, and take advantage of ethnic tensions? Is that necessarily a bad thing? It might be a bad thing, but it also might be a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no social media, no trying to rig elections or influence them.
Well, at least not through social media.
Not that way.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> There's still plenty of other ways to do that sort of thing. I'm not advocating for advocating for the U.S. government to pull the plug on Facebook because Facebook can't get its house in order. I'm just saying that I don't know that I automatically am going to reject shutting down social media in a place where it has been used to stir up and cause trouble.
Right. Where those powers were not used for good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's certainly not a simple thing. And the idea of a government shutting down anything should also always be an issue of concern to those who do want freedom of free flow of information. This stuff is tricky. This yes. stuff is just yes. super tricky. Like there's all these changes that are happening right now. We are in the midst of this massive turmoil in about 1,000 different ways throughout the planet. And we don't know how to deal with it mm-hmm. because social media has so completely upended things, and we haven't figured out how to manage it. We haven't figured out the right balance of control versus not control. It's tough.
It is. And it's relatively new. So for a lot of people, it's not 100% common yet. And then there's all of the stuff that goes into some of those sites, right? Like, we talk about Facebook here regularly, and I've seen some reports now that apparently Twitter is doing research into whether or not they should allow white supremacists to stay on the platform.
Yeah.
And be allowed to continue on the site, because, yeah, so there's a certain amount of that that goes into it, you know, when you do some of that. One thing I will point out is that a thing you can do is you can use the open web or the indie web, depending who you talk to. Those terms are used pretty interchangeably. So instead of following a particular news site on Facebook and reading everything through Facebook, for example, you can just subscribe to RSS feeds and use a feed reader to do some of that. Or you could use a podcast reader or a podcast catcher instead of listening through Facebook or through something posted on Twitter. Like, just pick up a podcatcher, and you know, there are some that have web clients, so it doesn't matter what screen you're in front of if you want to be able to use that. Or save sites to read later instead of bookmarking them or whatever that thing is that they've introduced on Facebook. You can use things like Instapaper or Pinboard and bookmark stuff to find later. And create your own stuff instead of posting everything to Facebook. Get your own website and set things up that way, or share your photos or things like that in a bunch of different ways. You can do a lot of that and be a little bit more agnostic as far as how you're getting your information out to everybody, because then it's up to me. Do I want to go to your website every morning? Do I want to look at your RSS feed? You know, whatever. I can make that decision. And you can find a nice list of those. I've discovered this site a couple of days ago, actually not too long after it went live, which is macopenweb.com. And you can go there and find some stuff that will help. This is primarily right now Mac, iOS, and web apps that will promote the open web. So instead of getting everything through Twitter, getting everything through Facebook, things like that, you can use some of these other alternatives to make some of that happen.
That's awesome.
It's a nice way to consume on your own terms. And then create on your own terms, instead of everything being property of Twitter, property of Facebook, or, you know, or used for whatever purposes that they're using that information for. Plus, if you just don't want to be part of Facebook because of the way they operate, or you don't want to be part of Twitter because of the way they operate, there are alternatives out there for you to be able to do some of that instead. And since we're talking about open web and Mac software, I don't know if anybody's heard, but there's a conference coming next week where Apple's going to get a whole bunch of nerds in San Jose. I know, right? And they get to listen to Tim Cook talk. Next Monday, not too long from now, there will be a public keynote where Tim Cook shows off what's coming in the new versions of OSs. We're up to four now. We have Mac OS, the original. We have iOS, the new improved flavor. We have tvOS, the one that gets brought up occasionally, just about the time you think Apple forgot about it. And then we have watchOS, which is the newest. And Andrew, you wrote up a wish list for iOS, and I'm going to give my one wish for iOS. I don't have a list. I have like one thing. And that one thing is, when you open a new Safari window, I would really like if it wasn't bright white, because even in a dimly lit room, when you have your phone on really low brightness, it's still very, very bright. And I would like that to stop. And I've wanted that for a really long time. What are some of the ones that you wanted, though?
So, I mean, as we've talked about before, I love shortcuts.
Yes.
And there's this, you know, there's a shortcuts gallery, but Apple like closed it off once they acquired Workflow, which became shortcuts. Like, you can't contribute shortcuts anymore. And I would love for that to come back, because there are websites that I've talked about, like Routine Hub is a good one, where people can share shortcuts. And then it's it makes it easier to like reshare shortcuts if you updated it. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, sending the link to people over and over again, you can just send it to the gallery, push the update to it, and then it'll be live and downloadable.
That's cool. And I do like there are other shortcut gallery sites out there, aside from Shortcuts Gallery. But I do enjoy browsing those. And one of the nice things about those kind of sites also is that you can get inspiration that way. So mm-hmm. that's like... It never occurred to me to automate that, but, you know, if I did that and changed this one little thing, like, it would totally be relevant and I could use it for this thing that would be really great to have a shortcut for. Yay! So, yeah. That would be good. What were some of your others?
I would really love tags and Apple Notes. Mm-hmm. That is probably one of the top things on my list.
Yeah.
I use tags in iCloud Drive a lot, and... Tags does make a bit more sense using a bunch of folders and files because you can organize notes in folders in Apple Notes, but I think tags would just be an extra organizational layer on that. Yeah. And I really would love that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Let's see.
Brian, do you have any wishes for iOS?
Nothing stands out for iOS. I'd like,
it's okay if you don't.
I'd like integration with third party password managers to improve. I'm glad, mm-hmm. I'm delighted that it's there, but I would like that integration to improve.
Okay.
I would very much like that integration to improve. That's probably the biggest thing on my list.
That's a big one. I like it. Andrew, did mm-hmm. you have any others?
I just wish that we could have more control over Apple Music and what kind of recommendations we get. Because I'm not interested in EDM and dubstep. I was in the past, but now I've evolved to metal and rock and alternative and all the good stuff.
You say evolve. Anyway, go ahead, please.
That's me screwing up your recommendations, by the way, just so you know. Because I do like some metal, but I like EDM more. So that's me. I'm not the one that's putting Skrillex in your recommendations, so you can't put that on me. But the rest might be my fault.
Oh, boy. But, like, I'm just imagining, like, you know, just a list of toggles for genres. I just want to be able to turn those toggles off and then turn some toggles on.
Oh.
That'd be nice.
That would be nifty. Yeah. Because I also have some friends on Apple Music that listen to a lot more country than I do. Mm-hmm. And those friend recommendation things end up not being great when they're the people who get heavily weighted this week in my friend recommendation list. Because I'm like, no, that's not for me. So, yeah. Mostly because it gives me flashbacks. It's not because I have anything against country music. It's because it reminds me of a dark time in my life when I lived in the wilderness and there was no internet and all of it was really not great. So, yeah. Toggles for music recommendations would be pretty awesome, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any wishes for other platforms? For macOS or watch your TV?
I've got one for macOS.
Yes.
It's related to my wish list for my wish for iOS, and that would be to have third party password managers, including iCloud Manager, be able to be integrated into apps.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. It's so annoying that we can do that on iOS and can't do that on the Mac. I mean, like, it always annoys me when something goes to iOS and doesn't come to macOS. But that's a particularly egregious one.
Particularly because once it came to iOS and we realized how great it was and how wonderful it is to have that and have it be really convenient across all these different things, mm-hmm. It's just even more obvious on macOS that it isn't happening. Yeah. At least to me. That's part of what I found frustrating about it was like, now that I see how great it can be on my phone, why can't my computer do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, I do have one small thing that I'd like to see on Mac. Using Siri to have timers, because you can only do that on the watch and the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that on HomePod.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. That's a good one. I think my Mac one is probably the password one, honestly. Aside from iTunes, which isn't really a Mac OS wish list feature. It's more of a
wood chipper.
Wood chipper. Yes, it's a wood chipper related feature. It's still that's still my fondest wish, and I know it's never going to happen. I really only have two every time there's a media event, and I know neither one will come true, and it bums me out. But the thing that I would like is the thing I wrote about years ago about iTunes breaking up with itself, and how on the Mac it should be a little more parted out, and hopefully some of the advanced stuff that we've seen will show that, because I think music was a separate app in at least one of those, if I'm not mistaken.
We can hope. I have a tvOS wish list.
Yes.
All right, my first wish list for tvOS is that it freaking remember my audio source.
Yes, mine does remember that just often enough to source. Be frustrating. Mine doesn't.
And mine does it frequently.
Ah, okay.
And it's super annoying. It should be smart enough to go, hey, you know, this here fellow was listening to the TV through his HomePod a few minutes ago. So, you know, maybe I should like keep pushing that sound through that HomePod until he tells me otherwise. That's what I'd like my tvOS to do.
I'd like to get an Apple TV like your Apple TV, because apparently your Apple TV is a Duke of Hazzard.
Exactly. And the other thing I would like would be, and this isn't on Apple, would be for the DirecTV Now app to not suck heinously. That's what I would like. I would like for that to be the case. But that's at least I don't think that's on Apple.
Odds are slim. Because it's up to them what it looks like and how it operates. And I know that because the HBO Go app used to be decent, and now it's terrible, and it makes me angry to use. And it makes me want to just... It makes me want to cancel HBO because I mostly use it through the app. And it makes me want to cancel HBO and just tell them your app sucks, and I'll come back when you fix it. because Game of Thrones is over, so I care a lot less about making sure that I have HBO all the time. I think I have one watchOS wish, and that is that that the dialogues, when stuff pops up when I get an alert, or it wants me to stand, or I get, you know, anything where there's like a dismiss button at the bottom or some sort of action button on the bottom of it, the dialogue doesn't fit on my screen. And I know they know what it is, because when I look in the watch app on my phone, it says I have a 40mm watch. My watch knows what it is. My phone knows what my watch is. Why can't any of the dialogues figure it out? I've had this problem for a long time, and I don't know if it's because I don't have the giant watch or what, but they never fit, ever. And I don't understand why. And I wish I did, because I'd like it to be better. And if there's some sort of engineering limitation, that's one thing. But if it's just everybody wrote stuff for the big watch, and if you have a little one, you just get to spend your life scrolling, that's dumb. That's my stance on that. Brian, do you have any watch wishes?
You know, I like my Apple Watch. I'm looking forward to whatever improvements Apple brings to it, but I'm pretty darn satisfied with it at the moment.
You have the big one, right? The 42?
I do have the big one, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to scroll through your dialogues?
I do, but mainly if it is, I don't see how you could have an iMessage notification be on one screen and still be usable.
Oh, no, I don't mean that. Like, I get, you know, the time to stand, right? And there's a dismiss at the bottom. Like, the dismiss doesn't show up on the screen for me.
That's, I guess that is the case even for me. I do have to scroll down to the dismiss button. I wonder again, though, how usable that would be.
That's good news and bad news.
How usable the information would be if it was crammed all into one screen. I mean, you know, it pays to remember that the Apple Watch display is still tiny.
Yes. I get that.
Yeah.
But I guess I feel a little bit better that I'm not the only one that has to scroll, but I feel like there should be less scrolling is really where I'm at. So
yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
That's all I really want.
And I bet you, John Keat and I in the latest ACM kind of went down this path, but and I don't normally like going down this path, but I think that this is one of those, like, you know, 1% things that Steve Jobs would have noticed and demanded be fixed. Mm-hmm. It seems like a rough edge that just that no one has honed in on and obsessed over.
Yeah, that's how it feels. I'm with you there. Well, I guess we will find out next week. You will hear more from us about WWDC next week. Like I said, I will be there next week to talk to people. Dave Hamilton will also be there. Brian will be in the vicinity on a regular basis, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you may actually get a peek at Brian in the wild, which is always an interesting sight.
And I will be sitting at home in my pajamas, comfortably watching.
Yes, that's true. Andrew will not be there. Andrew will not be anywhere near San Jose, which honestly might be the better decision. We'll have to see what happens next week. If we all make it out alive, you can expect full reports from us there on the scene at Dub Dub next week. And in the meantime, I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Brian, thanks for being here.
Yep, thanks for having us. Good to be here.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.